Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, They Said What?, where we talk about flamingos and figs. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 125. Hi, Shauna.
Hello.
So before we start, we just want to wish everyone in the U.S. who's celebrating a happy Thanksgiving this week. It's Thanksgiving week. No matter how you're celebrating, happy Thanksgiving. There's always a lot to be thankful for.
I plan to celebrate by gorging myself on delicious food and treats of all varieties and being thankful.
Oh my gosh, Shauna, that's my plan too.
What? Where did you come up with that idea? Tradition. Okay. Moving on.
Yes. I want to know what's going on with you, how old your toddler is, how you guys have been doing, all that jazz.
Well, she is 22 months and 2 weeks. And this week, the big thing is that she has decided, and I have to say that this girl always makes her own decisions, right? It's never like, I think I'm going to do this. It's just like, she, this week, is completely done with her high chair. She's just not interested at all anymore. And her booster seat. Like, nope, I'm going to sit at the table with everyone else. I want to sit by my sister. And if she can't sit and reach her food, she just stands up and stands the entire meal and eats her food.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so it's bittersweet. You know, I love when she's independent, but also my baby is growing up. Like, that feels like a big milestone to me.
Well, yeah. Also, I feel like for me, it would be stressful because I'd be like, please don't fall. Please don't fall. Please don't fall all dinner.
Mm-hmm. I've had to give that up because she's just like, too bad. She's just going to do it. She has fallen a couple times. This makes me sound like a terrible mother. We have bench seats. And she was like shimmying down, I don't even know why, and just kind of stepped off the edge. But she learned her lesson, and now she's extremely stable up there.
That's good.
And that's how she wants to do meals. So I'm like, let's get rid of the high chair then, because it's bulky, it takes up a lot of room, and I'm all about decluttering. So I listed our beloved high chair that we've had since Elle was a baby. I really liked this high chair. It's the Kikaroo. It's like kind of, you know, cool and modern looking. And I just really love it. And I offered it up for free on my Buy Nothing group. And I feel just kind of a little bit emotional about it.
Yeah, I can see that. We have that Stokey Trip Trap chair, which is like ridiculously expensive. But the idea is that it grows with them until they're like adults can apparently sit in it if you have it set up right. So hopefully it'll have some longevity for us and I won't have to go through that emotional giving up of the chair.
The Kikaroo is the same exact way. It's like, grow with your child. And I always, and that was a big selling point for me because I didn't realize that down the line, I just would not be interested in using it in that way. The girls didn't really care for it that much. And it's just one extra thing in the dining room. Mm-hmm. You know, we already have two benches and two chairs on the ends. And like, where am I going to fit in a Kikaroo chair? So,
yeah, the benches, I can see that makes a difference. That makes it a little more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we had like six chairs all around, we could just replace one of the chairs. But we've got these massive benches that weigh like 100 pounds each.
So she is standing on the bench for what? Every dinner?
Every dinner, lunch, breakfast.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what she's enjoying. And another thing she's up to this week. Let me give a little update on the potty training, which isn't even training. It's just potty introduction.
Mm-hmm. Potty exploration.
Potty exploration. She's getting more comfortable with it this week. She's using it a little more often, still wearing her pull-ups and diapers. But what she's decided to do this week is after she pees in the potty, she's very curious about it. Mm-hmm. So she turns around and sticks her face so close to the pot to like inspect what she's done in there. I'm like, I don't think you need to get that close. But she doesn't pee that much in there. So I can see like why she needs to get close. And it's like, what's in there? What have I done? So that's really cute.
I feel like the curiosity is a good sign, though, right? It shows that she's really interested in it and she wants to see what happened and isn't scared of it.
My
guy is always interested in inspecting afterwards. He's really funny too. Like if he has a poop, he goes, big poo poo.
Oh my God, that's so funny. So after she inspects it, she's really into the ritual of emptying the little potty seat. So she picks it up out of the potty, walks over to the toilet to dump it, and her aiming is horrendous. Basically, she walks up, dumps it before I can even stop her. I'm like, no, and just dumps it all over the floor because her aim is so bad.
Oh boy.
Like, oh God.
Yeah, my guy, he originally was very interested in flushing and dropping the pee in the toilet, but like lately he's kind of lost interest, which is probably good because it's like a toddler walking across the house with, because we have ours in the living room. I don't know where you're keeping your potty, because that's just bathroom. Where we are all the time. You have yours in the bathroom. We need to move ours in the bathroom, but we're always in the living room. Plus, it's like 4 steps to the bathroom. It's not like that big of a difference.
Yeah.
But even then, like, he has to get over the baby gate. He has to get through the door, and it's just like, whoa.
It's like you when you go to the doctor's office and get your pee test.
Yes, it's very much like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except for I've been walking a little longer than my toddler.
Less chance for spillage.
I don't know, though. I'm probably just as clumsy at this point.
Yeah, true. And then another little update. I have been bemoaning our sleep regression and early wake-ups and all that jazz. And that's gotten a little bit better. We're back to around 6 a.m. wake-ups. So that's very, very good. Just want to let people know that there is a happy end in sight.
And what about naps? Because she was trying to reject her all naps, right?
Yeah, we just kept going with putting her down every single day. And that's gotten better, too.
Oh, good. Yay! Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yes.
I love how, like, when you're a parent, when 6 a.m. sounds good, you're like, oh, that's great.
Oh, totally.
If they sleep till 7, you're like, what a miracle.
Oh, God, that's like so sleeping in. That's the dream. Maybe we'll get there at some point. But I have two kids to contend with. You know, it's like getting them both to sleep until that hour. That would be a true Christmas miracle. Maybe that'll happen by Christmas.
Yeah, maybe it'll be happen on Christmas.
Yeah. So that's pretty much our week. Things are good, better than last week, and just got to work on our potty aim. What about you? How are you guys doing this week?
We're good. So I am 24 weeks pregnant now. I'll talk about that first, because there's actually not too much to talk about, except for 24 weeks is like what people call the viability age, right?
Oh, yeah. Yay!
It's not great. You don't want to have your kid at 24 weeks, but at 24 weeks is when doctors basically will start to really, like, they do interventions if you do end up giving birth this early. So it's nice to know that I've passed that and we're chugging along and everything's good and baby's still inside.
Good. So 24 weeks is about 6 months. Like, what are you telling people? You're 5 months pregnant? Six? I always forget how that works.
I go by weeks because it's just too, like, otherwise it's just too confusing. About, okay, so if a month is 4 weeks, 24 divided by 4 is...
That's it where is. I got six from you. Six. Yeah.
Yes. 24 divided by 4 is 6. So yeah, 6 months-ish. You know, it's so, the months and the weeks don't really line up because it's like 40 weeks of pregnancy. The first 2 weeks, you're not even actually pregnant.
Months do have more than 4 weeks. It's like each month has like 4 in a couple days. So
exactly. Weird. So we'll just call it 6-ish months. And this week, I'm still having like a lot of SPD pain. And so it's reminding me to take things easier. I'm trying to remember to do that. And I'm getting like occasional cramping. Like it's a combination of either Braxton Hicks or just like actual cramps. I don't really know.
Oh, okay.
But I've noticed this when I'm really, really tired. I've been pushing it. So I need to chill out a little bit more. And the one little anecdote from this week was, pregnancy anxiety. So at like 3 a.m. in the middle of like this week on Wednesday, I woke up to like really like painful stomach, like just like my stomach just hurt really, really bad. Aww. And I was definitely having some kind of like Braxton Hicks or something, because like my heart, stomach would get hard. And I felt like I needed to go to the bathroom. And so I like wake up, I waddle to the bathroom, And I was having trouble pooping, which is a thing that happens a lot when you're pregnant. But then I had this like panic, this middle of the night panic, which like I've watched too many episodes of I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant. I don't know if you've ever seen that show.
I haven't, no.
There's a really like strong theme in that show where the the moms who didn't know they were pregnant, like as they're giving birth and not realizing it, like thought they just had like a lot of constipation, like had a big poop they needed to get out.
Oh, right.
And I suddenly had this idea. I was like, this seed in my brain was planted, like, oh no, what if this is like actually contractions? Like, what if this is actually me trying to go into labor? Oh no, I shouldn't like strain too hard. Like, what's going on? So I had to like talk myself down. I was like, well, I feel like the contractions would be a little more painful, but maybe you shouldn't strain anyway, because I always tell you that's bad anyway.
Yeah.
And just go lie down and take some Gas-X. So I took some Gas-X.
Good thinking. Okay.
And I went back to bed and it was just painful gas.
You poor thing. Oh my God.
But it was really painful. Like, you know, I think I never had this before my previous pregnancy, but I didn't realize how painful like gas could be. You just hear people say, oh, I had painful gas or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, okay. Just like,
yeah. Why is it painful? Like, what do the gas bubbles like scratch the inside of your intestine? Like, I cannot imagine.
It must cause pressure, like a balloon, or this is all guesswork. Maybe one of our listeners know. Yeah. Gas work. Maybe one of our listeners could tell us, but like I'm assuming it's like pressure, right, building in the pain receptors. I don't know, but thank God for Gas-X. Simethico.
Oh, I know. I
good
love
for babies,
that stuff.
Good for grown-ups.
Mm-hmm. Good
stuff. For pregnant ladies. So that was my one big paranoia this week. Baby's still inside, everything's fine now. So
Okay, good.
And then moving on to toddler land. So he is 21 months and 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And this week, I think we're like almost weaned from breastfeeding.
Whoa, that's a big deal.
Well, by almost, I mean, we're down to once a day in the morning. So I actively chose to go down to once a day because like I was kind of like taking his lead and whatnot, but he was like occasionally skipping naps and occasionally skipping before bedtime. Like I would ask him if he wanted boo-boo time before bedtime and he just wouldn't. So I wouldn't do it. And then I was just like, you know what? Like 3 out of 5 days, he's not doing it before nap or bedtime. Like, let's just stop. So now before naps and bedtime, if he asked for boo-boo time, I just say like, oh, no, we're not going to do boo-boo time right now. And he was fine with it.
Oh, good.
So he now is just nursing first thing in the morning. I'm sort of letting him because it's, I think it's still his comfort time. He's still, the first thing he says when he sees me in the morning is boo-boo time. So, you know, we'll have a short nursing session too, because if I do too long, I'll start to get like uterine cramps, which is a thing, you know?
What? Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, you mentioned something about that. If like your doctor wants to instill labor, they'll start pumping and that will.
Yeah, because nipple stimulation, breastfeeding, it all releases oxytocin. Uh-huh. Oxytocin is what starts contractions, you know, when you go in to get induced, they give you Pitocin, which is the synthetic form of oxytocin. So, yeah, so I have to sort of limit it. But now when I say like, okay, we have to stop, he says, baby brother, because he knows that's why. So he understands. And then he also now says, milk gone.
Uh-huh. Like because he drank all the milk out and it was gone? Or what does he mean?
No, because last week I noticed that my breast milk has finally turned into colostrum.
Oh.
I was waiting for that to happen and it finally happened. Now it's like, it's interesting. If you've never seen colostrum from when you've been breastfeeding, it's sort of like, it's almost like honey. In a weird way, it's like clear with a little bit of like a yellow tinge and it's thick.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, colostrum's what a newborn drinks for the first like day or two-ish, you know, postpartum. And it's like super dense. Like, I guess it's like super calorie dense, it's like super antibody dense and stuff. But you only get just a little out, like not a lot comes out. So I think he's getting a little colostrum.
That's good. I mean, why not?
It's probably good for him. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt. So I'm, you know, we're just still going with it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I've been wondering is if I can donate or save my colostrum. Like, I need to look into it. Because you can donate breast milk.
Like, would you pump it?
Well, I wouldn't pump it with a electric pump because it's not recommended when you're pregnant because mm-hmm. it could induce labor.
Oh, right.
But I could hand express it. And, you know, it uh-huh. doesn't take much to, you know, it's like a little bit goes a long way. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, like, I've tried to Google it. I can't figure it out. If milk bakes take colostrum, mm-hmm. you'd think they would because it would probably be really useful for like NICU babies and stuff.
Oh, so, for sure.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look into it because I'm producing it. I'm going to be producing it from now till when I give birth. Mm-hmm. So maybe I might like try to freeze some for myself just in case like I need medicine after labor or something or after my C-section that, you know, it gets into the breast milk or something mm-hmm. or who knows, you know, any number of things.
Yeah, might
can
as
happen.
Well.
But yeah. So if listeners, if you know anything about like donating colostrum or saving it, let me know. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. But yeah, so that's it for this week. Okay. It's interesting to not be like breastfeeding 3 times a day anymore.
Yeah.
Kind of liberating. I guess I get a couple months off.
I was going to say you might have a 2 months between when you stop one and start the other.
Right. What freedom.
Yes.
But anyway, shall we move on to our special segment?
Let's do it. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at OneSkin.co.
That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is They Said What?, where we reveal interesting, funny, hilarious, possibly offensive things that people have said to us about pregnancy, motherhood, etc. Okay, Laura, I'm dying to know, what's your They Said What?
Okay, so this one, I have to say, I didn't know how to categorize this with our normal segments, but I think They Said What is a good category for it because it is a talking toy. This was sent to me by my friend Holly from my Mommy and Me cohort. She sent it to me like right before bed. I get a text from her and I look at it and she was like, she was basically like, "This, you got to get this on the podcast one way or another." And this is a product.
Wait, did she send you the product or did she send you the story?
Oh, God, no. She didn't send me the product. Thank God. You'll see why. She sent me a link to it. Okay.
Okay.
This is a toy. The toy is by the Little Live Pets brand. And the toy is called the Gotta Go Flamingo.
Okay.
It is a flamingo that you feed special flamingo food. And then when it gets full enough, it announces that he's got to go potty.
Okay.
And he does a little dance. I'm going to play the ad for you so you can hear this madness. Okay.
It's got to go flamingo.
Uh-oh, got to go. Uh-oh, got to go.
He talks.
I'm so hungry.
I'm so hungry.
He eats. And he poops.
Uh-oh, got to go.
Quick, the toilet! Then pour, feed, and poop again!
Gotta go!
It's gotta go flamingo! Out now from Moose!
Oh my God, that's wacky. I just, the first thing I think of, honestly, is whoever that voiceover artist is got hired for that job and was like, oh God, I cannot wait. to say those words and sing that song.
I gotta say, gotta go.
Yeah.
Gotta go. So the flamingo's name apparently is Sherbet. So it says you should feed Sherbet the Gotta Go Flamingo his food and watch his long neck wobble and wiggle and make you giggle. Sherbet will start singing his hilarious Gotta Go song and make funny sounds to tell you that he needs to use the toilet. And like on in the commercial, this little girl like has to rush the flamingo to the toilet. It says, place Sherbet on the toilet and watch him poop his magical, colorful poop into the bowl. And then, okay, here's the grossest part. Scoop up the magic poop. It dries instantly so you can feed and watch Sherbet poop again and again. You are literally feeding this flamingo its own poop.
That is a terrible lesson to teach small children. Can you just imagine being like, well, Sherbert scoops out his poop from the toilet and eats it, so I can too.
It's so awful. And I mean, it does this little wiggle. Oh my God. It's $20. Oh, it's on sale. On Walmart.com, it's on sale.
Okay, there you go. Okay, questions.
Yeah.
Does it go on its own little potty? Because I'm imagining this girl rushing to the toilet. The flamingo is shitting in the water and this girl's fishing it out of the toilet water.
It comes with a little potty. Yeah. And I've done some digging and discovered that, like, apparently this special flamingo food is just hydrophobic sand, which is like it's not kinetic sand, but it's similar. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it dries instantly, because it's hydrophobic, like it doesn't absorb water. But it's just this random sand. And the other thing is that Sherbet apparently repeats anything you say back to it.
Ooh.
Okay, so the thing that's so great about this is the reviews.
Okay.
So if you search like Google for the reviews, they like aggregate reviews from different sites. And the first one that comes up, 1 star, not great quality. Yes, super cute and worked great for about 12 hours. Now the neck won't move and makes a terrible noise as it tries to move. And I'm just like imagining this. It's like me this week on like thinking I was having early labor in the middle of the night. This poor flamingo.
Straining to poop out his rainbow hydro sand or whatever. Oh my God. So are there other reviews?
Yes. Here's another 1 star review. Warning, you can't get additional poo! 3 exclamation points.
Oh, the horror, the injustice.
The flamingo sounds like good fun, but it is temperamental and deposits its poo on the table rather than the toilet. However, the main issue is that you can't order additional poo, so once it's all used, it's useless. Additionally, my 2.5-year-old grandson says, a bit rubbish. So I'm assuming I should have read the whole thing in a British accent.
Oh, man. That is a sucky thing, that you can't just buy a pack of poo. Why not?
Well, so apparently you go on Amazon and you get hydrophobic sand and it's the same thing. So.
Oh, okay. So they just weren't thinking outside the box.
I guess so.
Now, look, Laura, this does sound crazy, but I have to tell you, I know for a fact my girls would love this toy. Love it.
Well, congratulations. You now have a Christmas gift idea.
And it doesn't, I guess I'm not too phased by it, because this is a big fascination with, you know, toddlers and preschoolers, especially. And they have a doll called Baby Alive. Have you seen this line of babies at any toy store?
No, I'm already getting chills, though. What is it?
Well, the baby doesn't look alive. It's all plastic. It's waterproof. But basically what it is it has a hole from its mouth to its vagina or its urethra, I guess, rather. It's just a general crotch area. You feed the baby water with, you know, the little baby bottle that it comes with, and it pees. And, you know, kids go crazy for it. There are so many Baby Alive dolls in different varieties and outfits and all this stuff.
Sure. I get it. Kids are fascinated by bodily functions and all that stuff. But there's just something like very over the top about this like flamingo. Its neck is like gyrating. Also, the fact that like multiple reviews indicate that it starts making terrible noises after a while.
Like gagging on its own shit.
Maybe our listeners already have this toy and they're like, it's great. So let us know.
Yeah, let us know your reviews of Flamingo, Sherbet the Flamingo.
Why do I have the feeling that you are on your way to Amazon right now to add this to your cart?
Oh, yeah, of course. I went straight to Amazon. All I Googled was pooping, and it immediately brought up a suggestion pooping flamingo toy. And Laura, hello, this thing is $75.
What? No.
Yes, that's what it says.
Okay, on Amazon, is it like sold out? Is it like other people selling it?
There's 2 left in stock, so I guess it's in hot demand.
Oh, man. Well, the one I was looking at just now when we were recording the segment was Walmart.com, and it was $20 on sale. So
okay, well, clearly
find another source.
I need to shop there instead. This thing does around. Look hilarious. So it comes with a little food scooper. Oh my God, this picture of this little flamingo sitting on his potty. Oh my God.
Please don't spend $75 on it.
Well, what I need to do is make sure that Elle never learns about this product. Otherwise, I probably will end up spending $75 on it. Because I'm a sucker for my girls.
Well, in the meantime, before you start shopping around, will you at least share with us your They Said What?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, Elle is always saying funny things, and I don't see many people these days, so I gotta rely on her for some good They Said What. God. So we go walking most days around our neighborhood, and one of my new hobbies has become, you know, if someone has a fig tree that's like overhanging the sidewalk and there's like a delicious looking fig like right there over the sidewalk, I'll like very slyly like pick it. I don't know. Does that make me a terrible person? I need to know.
I don't think so. It's called gleaning, by the way. It has like a real term.
Really?
Uh-huh. It's okay. Called gleaning, and there's like a whole like biblical background to it. Do you want me to look this up?
Yeah.
Okay, so like the biblical concept of gleaning, and someone please write in if I'm getting this horribly wrong. But apparently it's first found in Leviticus. So it said, when wheat and barley fields were ready to be harvested, some of the grain was allowed to fall to the ground so that the poor could gather what they needed for provision. So And it's because it's like a thing where, you know, the idea is that if there's fruit at the edge of your pasture or whatever, the edge of your orchard or whatever, on the other side of your fence, you can glean the fruit. Whether that makes you a good or bad person, I don't know. But and also, you know, it depends on whether the person who owns the tree is upset about it. But
right.
I sort of think if it's like in the sidewalk, it's kind of fair game. That's
okay.
That's how I feel about it.
I feel relieved a bit of my guilt, but it does make me self-conscious, right? So I try to do it on the sly, and I'll be walking by and like, oh my God, that one looks good. So I just like kind of reach up and like quickly stick it under the stroller. And I've been doing this also with succulents, because that's my new hobby, is like arranging succulent cuttings and propagating them and stuff. And the neighborhood abounds with beautiful things. Half the time they're overgrown and, you know, sticking out over the sidewalk. And I'm kind of like, I'm not going to lie, I walk around with a little pair of scissors, and sometimes I'll very slyly like, oh, I need to tie my shoe, and like snip off like a little piece of a succulent and take it and like replant it in my house.
I have 1000% done that.
Okay, good. Phew. God, that was such a confession.
I mean, it depends. Like, I feel like it depends. Like, if it's like clearly going to make the plant look worse, or it's a big piece, or you know what I mean? Like, I do it judiciously. But, you know, the thing about succulents is that they kind of like get very leggy and overgrown. And a lot of times they just kind of break off by themselves, too. So my favorite is like, if there's a piece broken off, I'll just grab that.
Yeah.
Because they'll start then rooting, you know? Or just taking like individual leaves off of, you know, sedums are really good for that. Or echeverias, you know, you can take like just individual leaves off, or you can just pick ones up that have fallen to the ground and propagate those. So
that is a miracle I just learned about, that you take one of those little kind of thick little leaves, I guess, whatever the plant you just said. And I have been just growing new plants from a leaf. It's so cool. I did not think that was going to happen. I was like, all right, we'll see what happens. I'm like sprouting new plants. It's so cute.
Yeah, I personally think it's okay as long as it's like not an obnoxious amount you're taking, you know?
Look, I have my boundaries. I will never go up on someone's property. I won't step foot on someone's property. If it's a small plant, I could tell it's in a pot, you know, that they are working on it. It's like, no, it's almost always like overgrown bushes or whatever. But anyway, I try to keep this on the sly from the neighbors and also from my girls, right? I feel really bad that I'm walking around the neighborhood like, oh, a fig. Oh, a succulent. Oh, like just taking what I want from the neighborhood. I feel like it's a bad example. And we mentioned earlier that like kids notice everything, right? And I've mentioned before that my kid, Elle, is quite loud. She's just a loud voice, a loud personality. And so I have two things she said. The first one, we're walking around and we approach the fig tree that I sometimes check out for low-hanging fruit. And just at the top of her voice, she's like, Mommy, we're getting to your favorite fig tree. Pick a fig, pick a fig. And I'm like, oh my God, shut up, shut up. And I like picked up the pace and like just like booked it past. I'm like, what fig tree? Like acting like I don't give a shit about fig trees, right? I'm like, what fig
tree? Is this even a fig tree? I don't know what a fig tree looks like.
I have no idea. I'm not the fig thief. I'm like, oh my God. She just like calls me out right in front of the fig owner's house. I was so embarrassed.
Oh, kids telling it like it is.
They do. And then as far as the succulents go, you know, I try to be so sly about that one. The other day I was like leaning down and I snipped a quick little couple things and Elle turns to me. She goes, Mama, you're always stealing everything.
Oh, you got called out.
I did. And I was like, well, no, I mean, but, and, you know, trying to justify it, like how we just were justifying. But, you know, it's not like over the sidewalk and like, I'm not really doing anything and I'm planting them. And I just felt so bad. I'm like, she knows I'm a thief. I'm a thief. And of course, she said it loud in front of the owner's house. And I was just like, oh my God.
Oh, kids say the darndest things.
Yes. Yes, they do.
My 88-year-old stepfather does this regularly, by the way.
Prune succulents or call you out for stealing neighbor's stuff?
Oh, God, no, no. Just taking snippings of plants from neighbors and stuff. Like, uh-huh. He has no shame about it. And he's a really amazing gardener.
Oh.
And so the fact that he doesn't make me... I mean, it could just be like white male privilege. Mm-hmm. It probably is a lot of white male privilege, but mm-hmm. It's also like, I think it's kind of like a thing in people who garden. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh my God, we're going to get so much mail on this one. So much mail.
We might. I'm like totally building a little succulent garden, and my daughter thinks I'm a terrible person. So there you go.
Well, I can't absolve you, but I do think that it's fairly common practice and you're trying to make the world a greener place and you're not harming it, I hope. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
I guess we should.
Okay. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back and we close every show with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
BFP.
Woo woo.
My BFP is two food items that have been a big hit in our house with my girls lately. So I wanted to share.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Please do. We're always looking for snack and meal ideas.
Yes. I know that we've talked before on the show about pomegranates. Right? Because
yes,
my girls love eating those little jewels. And I think you started giving it to your guy and he really liked them too. And it's such a great snack for little ones because they're so tiny and juicy. So the other day, someone in my Buy Nothing group, my beloved group, was offering up pomegranates from her tree. And she's like, I have one dozen to gift each person, you know, like 10 winners, not each person in the group because there's like 1,000 people, but for 10 winners, right? And I was like, oh my God, I love pomegranates.
Wow.
I know. And so I won this gift and I went over and picked them up. And I happened to run into her as I was picking them up. And she was like, I know that's so many pomegranates, but you know what I do because we have so many is I seed them all and then I throw them in the freezer and you can just pop them onto salads and whatever. And I was like, oh, that's cool because my kids like frozen peas. Frozen grapes are amazing, but I never thought to freeze pomegranate seeds. So I went home and I seeded a bunch of them and put them in a big Tupperware and put them in the freezer. And frozen pomegranate seeds are the bomb. I like them even better than the regular ones because it's just like cold little pomegranate popsicles every bite. And the girls love them.
Are they soft? Like, not soft, but like, because they have sugar in them, you can actually chew them. It's not like you're chewing on ice cubes. Okay.
Exactly. So
amazing.
If they don't get hard as rocks, it's just like the perfect texture. And what I love about this idea is pomegranates go out of season after, you know, I don't know, January, February. And I get so sad that they're out of season. And what I'm going to do is buy a bunch while they're great right now and just put them in the freezer and just have them for the next several months.
That's such a good idea.
Do it.
It never occurred to me to freeze pomegranate seeds. But yeah, because you're right. You can only get them. It's one of those things you can only get in certain times of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And like apples, you know, where you can get from the Southern Hemisphere or whatever. Wow.
Yeah. Revelation, right?
Blowing my mind.
So try that. And then the other food thing that I made this week that the girls loved and I loved too was chimichangas.
Chimichangas?
Yes.
Okay.
You know what chimichanga is, right?
No. Remind me because I feel like I don't have a full like recollection. I know that it's a Mexican food. I feel like it's somewhere between like a tamal and a burrito. So what about, tell me about a chimichanga.
Yeah, close. I grew up in Phoenix and Mexican food is just huge there. One of my favorite things. I worked at a couple Mexican restaurants, so I'm very familiar with chimichangas. It's basically like a burrito, like all the goodies wrapped inside a flour tortilla and then deep fried.
Uh-huh.
So the flour gets crispy. Oh my God, deep fried flour tortillas is one of my favorite things.
Sorry, I'm just laughing.
Deep fried flour. Can you imagine just throwing a handful of flour into the fryer? Oh, I love the way my brain works these days. Deep fried flour tortillas are so good. They kind of like puff up and get soft and crispy.
Uh-huh.
So the little anecdote behind how this came to be is the other day I had some ground chicken and I was like, what can I make with these? And I was like, oh, I'll make some enchiladas. because I had enchilada sauce and I didn't have any corn tortillas. I only had flour. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I bet you can make, you know, enchiladas with flour tortillas. Not going to be as good. And I started to get all the ingredients together and was like, you know what? These are going to get mushy. I don't want them mushy. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if I could make chimichangas with flour tortillas. And I looked it up and there's a way to bake them, which, you know, is great because it's not so much oil and I don't have a deep fryer. So I rolled them up and set a bunch of them on my pan and brushed them with some butter, some Smart Balance for Cece, and stuck it in the oven for like 20 minutes. And they came out super crispy and the insides were delicious. And my girls turn their nose up at about 85% of things I make. And they devoured these. They were so good. So and super easy to make. So look up baked chimichangas if you are looking for something fun and different to make.
I will do that. Yes. I will do that for sure. Yeah. All right.
So what about you? What do you got for us this week?
Okay. I actually have a BFN.
Okay.
And so as I've mentioned, we've been going to the park a lot. Mm-hmm. And my BFN is other kids' toys at the park.
Oh, good God. God. I know exactly how you feel.
Especially the big, like, ride-on toys.
Yep. I was picturing, like, big motorized, like, Jeep thing that some kid brings that we've been there. Oh, my God. So tell me
like
what.
Like, the cozy coupe or... Oh, my God. It's just like, I get it. You're going to the park with your kid. You want your kid to have their toy. But I have come to, like, resent other parents that bring these giant toys that are clearly not like shareable toys. I mean, don't even get me started with like the time of COVID and like it's so complicated to figure out if another parent is comfortable with like your toddler even touching a toy or even like coming within 6 feet of you. Like that's already a whole negotiation where you have to like have a little talk with the parent when as they start rushing towards each other. That's one thing for like a shovel and a pail, you know, or like a little toy truck that someone's left in the corner of the sandbox. Mm-hmm. Okay. The freaking like life-size fire truck ride-in toy that you brought. There is no way. Like there is just no way to redirect my kid from that. Like,
oh my God, obsessed.
Obsessed. And he, oh my God, the other day he was losing his shit because someone had like is like a cozy coupe that was in the shape of a fire truck.
Oh no.
And he was just like, fire truck, fire truck. And I was like, yeah, that's so cool. Why don't we go to the swings, which is why we came here in the first place, or the slide? No. And he thinks he's sneaky. He thinks like,
oh no.
He thinks if he just starts like inching towards it slowly, I'll just not notice and then he can get in.
Wow.
And, you know, so eventually I'll be like, you know, I'll be like, well, we can look at it, but we can't touch it. And he'll be like inching, inching, and then he'll try to touch it. And I'll be like, remember, you're trying to set a boundary. And it's just so hard. And he has like a freaking full on meltdown if we try to move him away. And we were at this big park called Lacey Park the other day. I mean, it's huge. It's like got a mile long track around the perimeter of it and the big grassy area in the middle. It's really big. I picked him up, walked him to the other side of the park, which, by the way, I'm freaking pregnant with my like SPD pain. This is not what I want to do with my time. All he did, beeline right back for it.
Oh,
right?
No.
And so this particular time was even I don't know if it's better or worse. So we get back to the fire truck toy that he desperately wants to get in. He keeps going, Jive. Like he wants to drive it and I'm trying to keep him out of it. And then the woman who brought it, she was like, oh, that's mine. You know, he can get in. And it was a mix of relief and like, well, fuck, now I'm never going to be able to set up boundary, you know, because she was like, oh, it's fine. He can get in. I bring alcohol spray for it, like for this, because none of the kids can avoid it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, okay, that's nice. And I was tired fighting. So I was like, go for it, kid. And he was so happily just sitting in there and, you know, driving around. but then it's like, how do you even enforce? Because there's a lot of people who don't want their, you know, other kids to be playing with their toys.
I know. You know? It's so hard. Look, and if you're the kind of person that doesn't want other kids playing with the toys, do not bring them to the park because other kids are going to touch it. If you're a parent like her and doesn't mind sharing and the kid doesn't mind sharing, okay, maybe go for it. But yeah, that is super duper frustrating. And yeah, I've been there and it's just like, oh my God. Leave your stuff
at home.
Well,
you know, then the other kids, even if they let you play with it, they have to leave at some point. And then there's that whole conversation. It's just like, oh, God. Mm-hmm. Like, is it even worth it going to the park at this point? Because he's just going to spend his whole time trying to, like, run off with other kids' toys.
Yes. And that's the thing, too. If, like, you know, I'll bring sand toys sometimes. And we don't mind sharing at all. It's like, yeah, go for it. And then half the time, I'm like, where the hell did that kid go with that bucket? Where's all our stuff? And, like, I have to do this treasure hunt at the end to find all this crap that's strewn about. Finally, I was just like, no, you know, it's too much.
It's really hard. And then it's just that added layer of like right now with the pandemic, it makes it extra hard because you have to, you know, I feel like last year it would be just a given that like, look, if you bring your toy to the park, there's going to be other kids touching it. But now it's like, you have to have a whole, like, it's like you're having a safe sex conversation with everyone you meet. Like, you know?
Right.
What are your limits? What is your comfort? Like, how are you? Know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my current frustration. Well,
clearly the solution is to buy him his own ginormous motorized or whatever fire truck.
You know, the thing is, though, I feel like if we did that, he wouldn't care. Like, it's the other kids' toys he wants, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, anyway. But hopefully it's a phase. And hopefully, I know that, like, sharing becomes a lot more feasible to teach as they get older. Like, right now, sharing isn't really, like, a concept that they get fully, right? So, we'll see. And thankfully, so far, we haven't had any, like, run-ins with parents who are upset about it. But
good.
It's exhausting.
Yep, just one more thing to manage on top of everything else.
Right. Anyway, so that's my BFN for the week. But I think that is our show.
I think it is. Listeners, if you have any BFPs or BFNs or any they said what, we would love to hear from you about them. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you could include a voice memo in that email if you want to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. Finally, join us on our Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so please request to join, answer the two questions, and we'll get you right through to all the amazing conversations we're having in there. Very cute baby pictures, really insightful questions and answers. It's just a great community.
If you love our show, please spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. And if you haven't done so yet, please leave us a rating or review wherever you listen to the show. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Y'all have a great week. See you next time. Bye.